The following is a presentation of Peoria Nazarene Church. We are a church that seeks to make, mature, and multiply followers of Jesus Christ among all people. For more information about Peoria Nazarene Church, visit peorianazarene.church.
Good morning, Peoria Nazarene Church family. I want to welcome you this Sunday morning to our live stream. If you're a guest, my name is Mark McCall. I'm the lead pastor at Peoria Nazarene Church, and we're just so thankful for you to worship with us. Our hope and prayer is that this entire service will be a blessing to you, especially during this time. While we get ready to open God's Word, I just want to take a moment and share the exciting news, if you haven't heard it already, that just in a couple weeks, on June 28th, we are going to have our first gathering in our facility here at Peoria Nazarene Church, and we are so excited about that. On June 9th, our church board approved a summer regathering plan that a task force presented to our board to make sure that we are following carefully all the necessary precautions, that we're listening closely to the guidance that we're being given as well from local authorities. And so we are so excited about this opportunity to regather. So we're hoping that all who are able to and all who would like to get out, that you'd consider joining us on the 28th. We're so excited for that. We'll give you more details in the weeks to come. And if you're somebody who is going to continue to worship from home, we want you to know we are committed to continuing to support you, serve you, and we're going to continue our live stream, and that will continue to grow. We'll continue to build that. Pastor Matt's done a wonderful job at really pioneering that technology for us here in our church and continuing to improve it. So we're still committed to that. But before we regather in a couple weeks, I want to invite you once again with me to look at God's Word, and I believe that the word that God has given me for this week from Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8 is, again, a wonderful, timely message that really can set a proper attitude for us as we look forward to regathering. So we're going to look at this passage. I want to just kind of bring you up to speed if you missed last Sunday. Last Sunday, we were in Romans 12, 1 through 2. And in Romans 12, 1 through 2, Paul makes a very profound point that is just as relevant for us today, and really building upon the previous 11 chapters in Paul's letter to the Romans. And the simple point that we considered last week was this, and that is that what Christ has done for us must completely change us. All that Christ has done for us to forgive us for our sins, to restore us into a right relationship with God, and do right relationships with our fellow brothers and sisters, and also throughout all of creation, what he's done for us in his grace to save us ought to completely change us. And we considered how important it is for us to understand that true worship is offering your whole being to God. It is so much more than just something religious we do, or music. Congregational singing, as important and as how much that encourages us, and we love that and how necessary that is. True worship is about our whole lives being offered to God daily as a sacrifice to love him fully and to love and serve other people. And then we considered the importance of change, and where true change, the kind of change God desires, comes from God's Spirit in us. When we trust in Christ, turning away from our sins, he gives us his Holy Spirit, who cleanses us, forgives us, who enables us to truly know God, our Creator. And that true change that God desires to make us like Jesus, to make us like his holy love, to reflect his character to this broken world, to love and serve others, comes from God's Spirit taking control, leading us, when we would surrender our lives and let his Spirit transform us, not the spirit of this world. We looked at how the spirit of this world is constantly trying to squeeze us into its mold. And we as followers of Jesus are called to let the Spirit of God in us transform us, to change us, to become the very reflection of the image of God in this world. So we're going to build on that. We're going to look at the next three verses in Romans chapter 12, the next five verses starting in verse 3. And we're going to look at how Paul teaches the church here that the church is called to love and serve one another. If we can't humbly as a church love and serve one another in the body of Christ, we cannot effectively lead others into a life-changing relationship with God through Christ. How we relate to one another is foundational to our witness to the world. So it's so important that when we think about the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ and our calling to be salt and light and to go into the world and make disciples, to share the good news of God's love and what he's done for all people in the Lord Jesus Christ, to give us life here, but also eternal life. The foundation for that is that we as Christians would truly love and serve one another. That is so foundational to our witness in the world. We must serve one another, and to serve one another in the church, we need a divine perspective of our lives. We need to see each one of our lives the way that God sees us. Listen to Romans 12:3, the first verse we're going to look at today. Paul says this. He says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. This is a powerful passage. Paul says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought, but we're to use sober, right judgment to view ourselves in light of the grace God has given us. You know, 2020 has been unlike any year that I remember in a long time in my life here. And I know some of you who've been around a little longer can remember other years that were just really challenging years or unusual years. But 2020 has been one of those years. And one of the things it's done is it's, with all the changes happening in our lives and our world, with all the disruption, it's brought about at times just a temptation to embrace a critical, divisive spirit in our world. In fact, one scripture, Proverbs 21 verse 2 says that people may be right in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their hearts. And there's something about human nature that it's easy to really believe that our opinion, our perspective, is always superior to everyone else's perspective. And I think one of the heavy things on many of our hearts during this time is how quickly these circumstances that we're facing have led to a critical spirit. In fact, I know many friends who've taken a vacation from social media just to not fill their minds with the negativity and the divisive spirit that so oftentimes just runs through social media. If we continue reading in Proverbs, it gives us a picture of some of what probably is the problem that leads to this. It says, the Lord is more pleased when we do what is right than when we offer him sacrifices or religious activity. Verse 4 says, haughty eyes and a proud heart and evil actions are all sin. And we keep going in verse 23 of chapter 21 of Proverbs says, watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. Mockers are proud and haughty, and they act with boundless arrogance. But then verse 30 says, no human wisdom or understanding or plan can stand against the Lord. It's common for people, you and I included, to be right in our own eyes, to view our position as superior, and to naturally take a condescending view of those who disagree. And here in Romans 12, verse 3, Paul's warning us. He's saying, look, it's so important that you and I have a divine perspective of our lives. And part of that is not viewing ourselves more highly than we should, but measuring ourselves by the grace that God has given us. You see, we looked last week at verse 2 about the world wanting to squeeze us into its mold. And one of the ways the world wants to do this, and often does this, is by pressuring us to embrace an arrogant attitude. Arrogance is something that defines this world so often. Arrogance. But spirit, A Spirit-controlled life leads us to let go of arrogance, to confess it to God, and to embrace a posture of love and humility. So church, we are to be known as a people who embrace love and humility. And I think we do this in part by listening to God and then listening to others. Don't misunderstand me. I believe that an essential doctrine the church is to have unity. We base our convictions on the authority of God's word. And we hold to those convictions firmly, that those clear doctrinal points that the church has always affirmed that are necessary for our salvation, the deity of Christ and humanity of Christ, that our God is triune. We hold to these core doctrines that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but God sends his Son to save us. Jesus Christ is raised. These are the core doctrines that hold us together and that we unite around. And it's important that we, as we listen, we're not watering those doctrines down. We're not letting those go. But because of the love of God in us, and precisely because of the doctrines of Scripture, we are called to love others and to serve others sacrificially. So we humbly want to listen to God more than any other voice in our life. And then humbly, we want to listen to others, not just those we agree with or who see the world the way we do, but we want to listen to all, especially those who may have a differing opinion than we would have. You know, as Wesleyans in our theological tradition in the Church of the Nazarene, we've articulated how we go about interpreting Scripture through something called the Wesleyan quadrilateral. And this is really a way of showing us and how we approach Scripture. And that is, first, we start with the foundation of the quadrilateral is Scripture. We believe Scripture is authoritative. It is primary. It is truth by which we pattern our lives, our teaching, our doctrine that shapes who we are. And so Scripture is authoritative, but we go and we test our interpretation of Scripture to see if it's right through the lens of tradition. What have Christians who've come before us taught? Have they always seen it the way we do here in the West? And so we humbly want to listen to what church has taught in the past and what believers have taught through the tradition of the church. And then we consider reason, logic. We consider how we approach and our understanding of interpretation. And then we weigh it by experience. Then we go back to Scripture. And Scripture always is that authoritative guide for us. So if at times my experience seems to not go along with Scripture, I go back and look at my interpretation of Scripture. But at the end of the day, I trust Scripture because it is authoritative and it contains the very words of God that have been given to us to be our guide in all that we do. But that humble posture of saying, although Scripture is without error, my interpretation might be an error. So we take a position that the way we test our interpretation is by going to tradition, by going to reason, by going to experience, and then we come back to the Word of God. And we seek the Spirit to guide us, to lead us to a right interpretation. So it's important that if we're to let go of an arrogant attitude, and if we're to truly be humble, we as a church must always go back to God's Word. But we must listen humbly. And then we turn to listen to the experience of others. So important that we really learn to listen. I know there's been many times in my life where when I'm listening to somebody who disagrees with me on a non-essential issue, while they're talking, I'm formulating my argument. I'm preparing my talking points for what I'm going to tell them to show them that they're wrong. But true listening doesn't do this. It humbly embraces a posture of trying to understand with empathy another's perspective. And you know what I found is there have been times as I've listened, it's only strengthened my opinions and my positions. But there's other times I've listened and truly tried to understand, and I've began to see that maybe there was something I didn't fully know. So it's important that we listen. Being led by the Spirit of Jesus allows us to have a right view of ourselves. When we go to Scripture and we live a Spirit-filled life, we're able to embrace God's perspective of us. Scripture teaches us we're created for God's glory, that life only can be rightly understood in a relationship with God through Christ, where we love Him fully
and we love others, our neighbors, as ourself.
Scripture also teaches us that what's gone to the world, what's gone wrong in the world, isn't just outside of me, it's in me. The greatest problem of humanity is the sin and the evil in the human heart. But Jesus has come to redeem, to forgive us of our sins, and then to restore and cure and heal the sin disease of our hearts, that we might once again love others and love God fully. We would look at Galatians that teaches us we are to serve others. Romans that teaches us in chapter 6, no longer are we to present our members as instruments of sin, as slaves to sin, but we're to present ourselves as slaves to righteousness, to serve, to live right, to give our lives
so that others can experience the love of God.
You see, you and I, we need a divine perspective of our lives. Because when we have a divine perspective of our lives that knows both our need, our sinfulness, and God's great love for us, it motivates us and it humbles us to be able to not think more highly of ourselves than we should. You know, we will have different opinions. The church has always been a body of people with different opinions. We will not all agree. We will not all see things eye to eye in non-essential issues. And it's okay. It's okay for the church to be that way. In fact, that's what makes the church so wonderful, is we have people who come, and we often come from different backgrounds and experiences that shape our view of the world. But what unites us together is the Word of God, Jesus Christ, the living Word, and our commitment to the written Word, which we actually experience God and we encounter Him through the written Word of God.
That's what unites us.
I think one important thing that's so important for us to understand, you know, it's not a sin to have differing opinions at all. It's okay. But it is, I believe, potentially it becomes a sin when we value certain people in the church more than others because they have the same opinion that we do about a non-essential issue. I can put that another way. It also becomes a sin in the church when we devalue certain people because they have a different opinion than we do. We, as followers of Jesus in the body of Christ, are called to love all of our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. And we're to love them equally in the love of Jesus Christ, to value them equally, again, when we have differing opinions on non-essential matters. And there's a lot of things in our world today. There's a lot of things, especially with the pandemic, that are going on, a lot of things. There's a lot of different opinions. And all you have to do is go into a grocery store and see how many people are approaching this issue from different ways. And the same is true of the church. But we, church, are called to not think highly of ourselves, more highly than we should. And we're called to love and serve one another.
The second important point, it's in verse 4-5, is this: we need to remember the church is many members in one body. If we're going to love and serve one another as we are called to, we need to remember the church is many members in one body. Verses 4-5, listen to what Paul says, chapter 12. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body. And hear this, we all belong to each other. You see, Paul paints this picture that all members in the body of Jesus Christ are essential. There must always be a unity and a diversity within the church for the church to be the body of Christ. We are not called to be rugged individualists, but to see the church as an interdependent body with many different members, with differing gifts, with differing often passions that come out of our gifts, and at times different opinions on non-essential issues. And we must remember the church is a body with many, many members, and we need all the members of the body. Just a few weeks ago, I went to a chiropractor for the first time. And I went to a chiropractor because there were muscles on my back that just had been killing me. In fact, for months,
I kept enduring this pain, that it just constant, you know, soreness in my back. And finally, I had enough of it. And I decided to go to a chiropractor, first experience. And I went to a chiropractor and he took an x-ray of my back. And I noticed how my neck was hurting, my back was hurting, my chest was hurting, my arm was hurting, it was tingling. I was having all these experiences on the left side of my body. And when I went to the chiropractor, he was able to show me with an x-ray how the ribs from my back were separated and pulling away from the vertebrae of my back. And you can even see how my neck and everything was out of line, and I could see it. I'm not one who can read x-rays, but I could immediately see the problem. And he was able to show me how my muscles, and he could press on the exact spot and how they were all balled up and they were clenched, and how they were pulling my joints, and my muscles were over-functioning just by my shoulder. And he began to teach me some exercises I could do. He did a couple adjustments, and just 2 to 3 weeks later, all my symptoms that I'd been enduring for months were gone. And I'm so thankful to have that relief. But one part of my body, one muscle, it was over-functioning and it was affecting the whole body, the other members of the body. And this is kind of what Paul's getting at. We are many, many members, and we can't devalue one part of the body because of its differences from us, or its different gifts that often in passions that lead to different opinions or different things that we value really strongly personally in our hearts because of our gifting. It can't lead us to devalue somebody else in the church who has a different value or a different gifting than we do. We must be united with Christ and each other for the church to function properly as a body. We need to remember that Peoria Nazarene Church, we are many members, but we are united in one body, the body of Jesus Christ. Let us never devalue somebody in non-essential issues who sees differently than we do. Let us embrace them as our brother and sister in Christ. And let us remember that it's the Spirit of Christ that unites us. We will always be a church with many different political opinions. We'll be a church with many different hobbies and perspectives and those strong passions. But we are united in the Word of God. We're both written and living. We are united in the Spirit of God. In Peoria Nazarene, I am so excited to regather in this facility. But will you remember with me, the church is not the building. I am so excited because the building is the place that the church gets to gather in. And I miss our gathering, and all of us do. But let's remember, we are the church, the body of Christ, men and women, people from every background, every race, united in the body of Christ, young and old together. And we need each other. Let's never, ever forget this. We need unity, and we need diversity. So let's love each other. And let's especially love and serve those who may have some different passions than we do, or maybe have a different politic than we do. And let's hold firmly, in all of us, to the Word of God. Let's let that be the authority that guides us deeply in our hearts. The final point is this. We need to value. We need to value the differing gifts God gives each member. It's so important that we catch this. No one person in the body of Christ contains all of the gifts that God gives the church. No, I am limited. You are limited. Every believer in the body of Christ has been given gifts. Grace, special grace. God has given every single member, every single member in the body of Christ. There's no one without special gifts that God has given for us to love and serve one another. But church, hear me. We need to value others, and we value others by recognizing our own limitations. You know, I love to learn. I'm constantly wanting to learn a new skill. And I know many in our church are that way. You're constantly learning, and we live in a world that rather than appreciating somebody else's giftedness, it's easier to go to YouTube. There was a day when you didn't know how to do something, you had to call an old farmer in your community or a neighbor, and you had to ask somebody who had learned something to teach you and show you. And I love YouTube. I love being able to go online and get what I need to find. But never forget that it's so important that we value other people, and specifically we know that I have limitations, you have limitations. You do not have all wisdom. You do not have all knowledge. I don't either. We need each other. And especially we need to value those gifts, church, that seem insignificant or less significant than others. Because the gospel values those small things, and the glory of God will be most clearly shown through what we might consider weak or of lesser value. It's those parts that have the added glory in the body of Christ. Hear what Paul says, verse 6. He says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. This isn't an exhaustive list. There are more gifts that God gives the church. And oftentimes it starts with our natural abilities. You know, I've often said I have the gift of gab. It's a blessing and it's a curse. But I know God wants to use that gift to serve other people. He wants to refine it so that I'm more careful with it, so that I do more listening than speaking. But oftentimes your natural gifts and passions, your natural strengths, God will give you special grace to use those natural abilities in the body of Christ. Here's the key. You have to be willing, Romans 12, 1 and 2, to offer yourself completely to Him, your gifts and your abilities, as a living sacrifice, and then let His Spirit renew you, not the spirit of this world. And if you'll do that, God will use your gifts daily as you surrender to Him to build other people up, to love and serve other people. We need to value the differing gifts that God gives each member. We must recognize that we're only given a measure of gifting grace. We're not given individually all the grace we need. So if we go through life with a rugged individualistic perspective, we essentially will miss out on fully understanding and being able to really know entirely who God is and walk with Him in the fullest measure that He desires. Paul's point is that we must view our gifts, which are often closely linked to our passions, our convictions, our opinions, with great humility, and we must be aware of our limitations. So church, hear me. We are called to serve one another. We're called to love one another. And if we're going to do this as a church, we need a divine perspective of our lives, to not think more highly of ourselves than we should, to reject an arrogant attitude or a critical attitude who views people with differing opinions as lesser valuable to God. We also need to remember the church is not one body with one member. The church is many members in one body. And it always has been a body with unity and diversity. So we as a church need to value the differing gifts that God gives each member. So as we close today, I'm so excited. We're going to gather in 2 weeks. And we know that some will continue to worship from home, and we encourage that. We'll give you more details in the coming week on the training and the safeguards we're putting in place. But when we gather, just like when you go to Walmart or when you go to any store, we're very aware that there's different kind of perspectives that are happening and how people are handling this pandemic. We'll probably see the same thing in the church. And I just want to encourage you, however you're viewing and however you're interpreting the current issues, however you're looking at this during this time, let me challenge you. Let's focus on loving and serving one another. You know, I'm so excited for the church to regather. And I told our board as they approved our plan, you know, I so want to regather. But when we regather, I want it to be everybody. I'm not saying everybody physically in the building, but I'm talking about in our spirit, in unity, leaving no one behind. And I want us to gather, and I want you to gather with me, so eager to see everyone in the church family. And even those that are connecting at home, I want you to gather with a spirit that isn't critical, isn't arrogant, but a spirit of love. That when you see your brothers and sisters who have opinions similar to you, you will value and love them. But when you see your brothers and sisters who have a different opinion than you, you will love and value them the same. And in love, we will serve one another. Church, remember, God calls us to witness to the world. We have the hope of Christ. We have the message of the gospel that the world needs. But foundational to that is that we have to love and serve one another in the church. That is foundational to our Christian witness. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, I just want to thank you. Your grace has sustained this church during this time. And while we know we're not out of the water yet, and we don't know what the future holds and what the next few weeks hold, Father, we know that you have been with our church family. And Father, as we step into this future, we don't want to leave anyone behind. And Father, we're thankful for those in our church family who are going to stay and continue worshiping at home in an abundance of precaution. And Father, we love and we support them. Father, we thank you that we have the technology, and not only that, the ability to stay connected to them during this time. So we're going to increase our efforts as a church. We're going to stay connected to them. We're going to keep reaching out. We're going to keep making those services available. And then, Father, as we regather and there's going to be different perspectives on some of these issues, Father, we're going to be communicating as our board the recommendations that we have that'll be in place to protect everybody, following the guidance we have from our local authorities, the CDC and others. We're going to have those recommendations in place. We're going to set up our facility that way. But even when we gather, there's going to be different ways of processing the current reality. And I'm so thankful that we have the Holy Spirit that unites us together. And Father, I believe, and I'm so excited that as we regather as one body, but many members with many different passions, Father, we know that there won't be, we believe, by your Spirit, any spirit of arrogance. Father, there won't be any looking down or belittling of anyone who disagrees with how we may see things, but rather it will be the love of Jesus that allows us in these non-essential issues to keep our eyes focused on what is essential, and that is the love of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, what you've done to save us from our sins, the eternal life that we have, the hope of resurrection that we have, and the call to make disciples, to witness to this world the love of Jesus. So I would pray for every member. Father, I know there's not a single member in this church family that I don't love. And Father, I know that your love is far greater than my weak love. My love is a dim reflection. And Father, I pray that you would stir in the hearts of every member of Peoria Nazarene Church in such a way that when we regather, we can know that whether we gathered from home that first Sunday on the 28th or whether we gathered in a service here at Peoria Nazarene, that the Spirit of God was with us. Continue to give wisdom. Continue to guide us, Lord. Continue to lead us in these days. It's in your name we pray. Amen.